told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up to heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. Amen.
Please have a good look at the slide. And I'm going to ask you, when you were younger, did you ever, or perhaps today, do you still make shapes out of clouds? And as I was driving here this morning, I thought, that's not going to happen because it's really overcast. So, my mother was fascinated by clouds. She was a member of the Cloud Appreciation Society. And we spent many a summer making shapes out of clouds and telling stories. I did it with our children because we were involved in a lot of long car journeys. And I used to say, "Look out the window, what can you see?" Now we have a granddaughter and I can't wait to, well, I have started doing it with her. What can you see? Can you see anything in these clouds? Are you brave enough to say what you see? Or shall I tell you what I see?
A squirrel.
Oh, right, which one's a squirrel?
Top right.
I thought that was Pooh Bear emerging from something. That was really Pooh Bear to me. I actually cheated with that one. I typed in cloud formation like Pooh Bear. Pardon? Yes. I thought that. Which one's a rabbit? Okay, I'm going to do this.
What do you think this one was? Maybe I thought that was a Scotty dog.
And what are the I must. That I found when I typed in images of Jesus ascending. I looked at some of the artwork for Jesus ascending and I thought, nah, I can't have a picture. They were, to me, they didn't describe it properly and I couldn't really see Jesus ascending with lots of little cherubs around him. That's not really me. If it's you, I'm sorry. They're on Google. That to me was more relative to the reading. So, clouds. What do we make of them? But I think it's quite fun making shapes and stories out of them. Clouds are fascinating things. They can appear as fog, providing difficulty in finding your way. That's quite frightening. Have you ever been in a fog when you can't find your way? The times I had to drive to Manchester Airport to pick my husband up, I know this. I live there. Thick fog. I can't even see the car in front of me. It's scary. It can also come as a mist. That's something Manchester, being on the wrong side of the Pennines, has in common with Scotland. We have a lot of rain. It can catch you unawares. There's many a time that our eldest and his friends had to abort a Munro because the weather set in. So a bit of fascination with clouds this morning, because it's all to do with our reading. We're looking at the ascension of Jesus today. And we're told Jesus was taken up into heaven. In our reading, Luke doesn't say how this happened. But as I said, any painting depicting this event usually combines Jesus ascending in or among and hidden by clouds. And this could come because Luke tells us in Acts chapter 1 that Jesus was taken by a cloud, or hid by a cloud as he ascended into heaven. Depends on your translation of the Bible. Ruth Burgess, who is a member of the Iona community, wrote a poem about this called In a Cloud. And it goes like this. Well, this is the first verse. I didn't do all seven. In a cloud? A cloud? Bit dramatic, wasn't it, Jesus? A bit over the top. And then she goes on to question, is that what Jesus really wants us to remember about him? That he's left us, taken, hidden from sight by a cloud. Jesus left us. Is that true? Today, we know that's not true. But why did Jesus' ascension include clouds? Why were they there? Was there a reason? Well, we know God does everything for a reason. So how was Jesus ascending in a cloud, speaking to us, speaking to the disciples, and speaking to us today? As Ruth Burgess admits, and we know, there are references in the Old Testament where God makes his presence known through cloud formations. Not like that, I don't think. But we have the rainbow in the clouds in Genesis, and we have God leading his people in Exodus during the day by pillars of cloud. Cloud was a visible symbol of God's presence and protection. Clouds illustrate God's intervention at particular times. So was Jesus using an image that the disciples would naturally understand, because they knew their scriptures, to convey what was happening to him, what he was doing, and why he was doing it? So what was happening to Jesus? Psalm 110 tells us the ascension is about Jesus' priesthood. And a priest is someone who represents the people, us, to God. To do this for us, Jesus first went to the cross. He then rose. Finally, he ascended. If he hadn't died, there would have been no blood sacrifice for our sins. If he hadn't risen, well, how could people believe that death wasn't the final answer? And then he had to ascend. So as Psalm 110 says, he could be seated at the right-hand side of the Father to intercede for us. Hebrews chapter 9, as I read earlier, tells us Christ has entered into the holy places, not made with hands, copies of true things, but into heaven itself, to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Ascension marked the transition from Jesus' earthly ministry to his heavenly ministry. Without the ascension, there would be no Jesus sitting at the right-hand side of God, and we wouldn't have anybody appearing in the presence of God on our behalf. The Holy Spirit wouldn't have come 10 days later at Pentecost, and Peter wouldn't have addressed the crowd. The good news would not have been heard, and by so many people, where we know that almost 3,000 had been saved, that wouldn't have happened. Jesus didn't leave his church when he ascended. He ascended to lead it and guide it. The ascension is about where Jesus was going and why. Do you remember, I don't know if you know this hymn, because obviously I don't have your church background, but did you sing a hymn when you were little called "Be Careful, Little Children, What You Say"? Yeah. Did it terrify you? Because it says, "Be careful, little children, what you say." And it repeats it three times or something. And then it goes, "There's a Father looking up above who is looking down in love. So be careful, little children, what you say." And that, even as a child, sort of presented God as this figure who was waiting, watching me to see if I'd step out of line. And that didn't tally with my view of God. Jesus does know and see what is going on today. He's still leading and caring for his people, as he did when he was with us on earth. But unlike the hymn, he's not just watching us, he's watching over us. And there's a difference. Jesus' ascension heralded the end of his time on earth. In ascending, Jesus was returning home, where he is leading and watching over his people then and now, over us. And what better good news for us is there than that? Jesus died for our redemption. He ascended so that through the Holy Spirit, he could send his message of salvation, our great commission that he has entrusted us with. And even better, when we undertake this commission, this great commission of spreading the message of salvation, we're not on our own. Jesus is right there beside us, guiding and helping us. What more could we ask for as we carry out his work? We remember ascension. We remember ascension today as the day Jesus returned to his Father in heaven. We look back on Jesus' life and forward to the Spirit working in the church and to Jesus' coming again.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was a lovely piece to end the reflection with. Thank you. We join together to sing At the Name of Jesus.